John chapter 12. We'll be reading a few verses out of there. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Look at verse 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there will my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. We thank you for our fathers. I appreciate the family you put me into and the country you put me into. And Lord, all the blessings that you have added to this life. And we just want to give you thanks this morning. And Lord, to help us as we study your word, may we get a blessing, may we get some encouragement, may we get some joy and some confidence in our minds and our hearts, and may we walk gloriously into the future. We praise you, Lord, for all the things that you've done and what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know, the hour has come. He's telling them about his death. He's telling them about what's happened to him, and it's a tremendous thing at this time. He has been ready, preparing for this since way back when. And in the Old Testament, it's prophesied. My two favorite prophets to read are Isaiah and David. And I'm going to read a little bit on Isaiah 53 today as it goes along with the Lord's death. He says here, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, we mentioned this a little bit the last week before we finished. And the idea is that if the corn of wheat, if the kernel of wheat does not die, turn itself into this plant that goes up, then we don't get any increase. But if it does die and it gives its life, then the stalk comes up with about three ears of corn. And in fact, I've seen some of this new corn. I didn't even know it was corn because it was too low. They got this new corn. I used to be as high as me, you know, and even further. But I hadn't seen any of this low corn, but I saw quite a bit of it here lately. Anyway, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It does bring forth much fruit. And think about that. I think he's trying to teach something here. If you give your life to the Lord, you'll bear fruit. It'll bring much fruit. If you do not give your life to the Lord, and if you live selfishly, then you won't bring the amount of fruit that you ought to bring. And the one thing that we've got, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, if he has saved our souls, forgiven our sins, changed our life, blessed us with the spiritual blessings, he deserves us to bless him. He deserves our testimony. And we should stand with him that way. Anyway, we've seen that. How much food comes out of one kernel of wheat, just amazing thing, the tremendous increase that you would get. What about your life? If you win a certain person to the Lord, and let's say that person preaches or teaches or witnesses and testimonies, and goes on down, how far does your influence last? A long, long ways. And might be in your own family. Some of you came from families that had no Christian testimony in them whatsoever. And you were stunted in your growth. In fact, coming to a church like this or coming to a gospel such as we preach, it was just a very strange thing to you because it was completely different than what almost all religion teaches. Most of religious people live by the idea that salvation is a reward for good living. It's not. You don't live that good. In case you don't know, Paul was trying to tell you all have sinned. You know what that little word all means? It means all. It means you. You have sinned. Yeah. I tell you what, I heard some preaching here a few times and here this last week. And I thought, oh Lord, I don't live up to that. You may. I don't think you do. But I don't live up to that. What about the Good Samaritan? Are you a Good Samaritan? Do you love your neighbors yourself? I don't think so. You know what I think that does for you? That tells you you're a sinner. Whenever I read the Ten Commandments, and every time I read the Ten Commandments, I say, sinner, 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 yes. And what about when Jesus puts it down to the three laws? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Wow. How much your heart is divided. Might even be divided between things. Cars, knives. I have been in people's houses and they showed me their cut glass. Now the last thing I value is cut glass. But they were so proud of it. They got a big cabinet to put it in. It's covered behind glass doors, you know, where you can see it and you don't have to touch it and you can't break it. What about the guys that say, hey, let me show you my collection of guns. I was in a place one time and they were showing these guns and either these shotguns they were worth or they were trying to sell them for $50,000. One gun. Because all the tool marks on it and the silver and the gold or whatever with it. How much do you value God? How valuable is your relationship with God? Sometimes I think it's not as much as with your car. Or your rug. Or your house. Or your kids. Wow. I come up guilty on all counts. And I don't know whether you do or not, but I have to confess to the Lord, and I do quite often, Lord, I'm a sorry rascal. I don't know why you saved me, but I thank you that you did. I know that mine is not any reward for all the living, good living that I've lived. It's a gift. And if your salvation's not a gift, I don't think you have anything. You understand me? I wouldn't bet on any one of you, and I love you. Bless your heart. Some of you are real good friends. I wouldn't bet on you making it into heaven on your good works. No, no. Why? You're a sinner. Have you ever read the book of Romans? Good night. The first chapter, second chapter, third chapter. Boy, Paul lets you have it. We find out that we're sinners. Well, the hour has come. Son of Man should be glorified. Well, he said down in verse 227, now is my soul troubled. Well, you may wonder, well, what's the Lord doing being troubled? Well, he was a man. He took upon himself manhood. He took upon himself a human body with its frailties that could be killed. And you know what? He asked the Lord, is there any other way? That's what he's praying to God. Is there any other way? Wouldn't you? I don't have any criticism for Christ over that. Good night. Is there any other way? Hey, I don't even like my foot hurting. I don't like that I have sinus. I don't like that I have heart trouble. I don't like that I have diabetes. I don't like that I'm lazy. of those things testify against me when I come up before the Lord. Don't they testify against you?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, bless your heart, you do. And he said, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. He said, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? All this judgment that this corn of wheat going to have to fall into the ground? No, he was a human being and he feared pain just like anybody else. Amen. Just like you. And bless your heart, all of us are in need of a gift. And that's why God gave salvation as a gift. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
What a difference it makes in my mind. And I'm talking about all the religions I know about. And basically much of Christianity. What you're going to get from the pulpit is you need to live for the Lord, for God to reward you for this salvation or whatever, you know. That's not the truth. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The gift of God. The only way eternal security could work is that it's a gift from God who nobody could take it away from him. I am in awe of God. I stand in awe of God continually. And the older I get, the more I get that way. I think that was real smart, the Athenians, to put up a statue to the unknown God. That's pretty good sense. Because God is so much bigger than any gods I've ever heard described. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the universe? As our scientists tell us how it's stretched out beyond, and it's still growing. Wow. That's no accident. Look at your body. That is no accident. And by the way, God tells you whether you're male or female. You don't get to choose. I don't care what the United States government says, you don't get to choose. I don't care what your school district says, you don't get to choose. Take your clothes off in front of the mirror and you can tell what you are.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Wow. He says, now is my soul troubled. I would have been troubling myself. Man, I don't even like to go to the doctor. Verlene was a very self-controlled person, but she did not like pain. She had an operation, and the doctor, when he closed up the wound that he made on her in doing his operation, he used these little staples. Well, we were back at his office and it was time for him to take out the staples, and Verlene is sitting up on the bed, I'm sitting in a chair, and the doctor, who was older than me, pulled out a staple. And she says, ow, that hurt. And hit him with a pillow. She went, that hurt. Bang, hit him right in the face. He stood up shocked. He said, excuse me. And he stepped out the hall and didn't come back for 15 or 20 minutes. I'll bet that's the first time he ever got hit for pulling the staple out. I love that story, but it's all true. It really is. It hurts, she said. Well, it does hurt. It hurts worse than the kind you cut, you know, whatever. Anyway, he's going to go through a lot of pain. You know that many ways to die. There are hundreds of ways to die. I would personally like a brain aneurysm in the head. I just lay down and go to sleep and I say, hello, Lord. Didn't know I was going to see you today. Praise the Lord. But I'm a coward, see. I don't want any pain. I look at pain, I say, no. That's not the road I want to travel. Now, some of you are brave. You just just stand up to pain. You're just great that way. I'm lying. I know every single one of you would be troubled if you knew you were going to be crucified. That's the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man just like you. And he had this, what am I doing this for, you know? He had to think like a man. And he thought like a man, like you. And that's exactly what he did. And he said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Well, he really did. In the garden before, he was praying and asking the Lord to, is there any other way? Is there any other way? And you know what? He said, thy will be done. He said, for this cause came I unto this hour, verse 27 and verse 28, Father, glorify thy name.
Amen.
I hope I can say that if I ever have to go through something. Lord, just glorify your name. Don't worry about me.
Amen.
Just glorify your name. But I'm not sure I've got the guts. I'm not that unselfish. I'm a very self-centered, selfish person. I like it to be the perfect temperature. I like a soft bed. I like to have my way. I don't care about your way. I like to have my way. And these guys aren't going to let Jesus have his way. They're going to take him through one of the most torturous types of death. They want it because of violent criminals. They want it to be a painful thing. Now, in our day, we're trying to make it not so painful. We think give people a shot or something and whatever. And maybe that's better. I don't know. But whatever it is, the law, somebody asked me here a while back when I was teaching and said, well, that's killing, isn't it? And I said I was for capital punishment. And I said, yes, but the law can kill. The Bible says the government bears not the sword in vain. And what do you use a sword for? You don't use it for picking your teeth. You don't use it to give a quick death. A sword is to cut some places on your body. And the last time I looked, the last time I cut myself, it hurt. And Jesus is getting ready to not hurt. Let me tell you one other thing that's happening out there that Jesus is facing. Becoming sin. He never sinned. Now it was very easy for me to sin because I sinned all my life. As a little boy, I don't worry about my mother's comfort. I want the milk. Give me the breast. I want the coffee. I want my way. I'm going to cry if you don't give me my way. Some of you are still doing that. Amen or amen.
Amen.
He says, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. That ought to be a watchword in some little place back in your mind. What I'm doing today, will it glorify God or not? Well, Jesus said in looking at this and knowing what I have to do, glorify thy name. Wow. Now, I've told some of you before, and I think I said it just a little while ago. My favorite prophets are Isaiah and David. David was a great prophet. And Isaiah was a great prophet. Go to Isaiah 53. I've seen movies and so on where if you knew what was going to happen the next day, the gambler could bet a certain way and make a killing, and stuff like that, you know. And that's the truth. If you knew what was going to happen today or tomorrow, wow, how you could use that. We don't know. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. We hope, we think, we plan, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may not even be able to get out of bed tomorrow. I might be dead tomorrow. Hey, you might be the same way. You might be in your bed hurting in pain and sick and whatever, and you're healthy as can be today. This country could be in war tomorrow. There could be a depression like the Friday in the 20s. I've always been amazed. I read a lot about it. And there's this story of different people jumping to their deaths out of high-rise buildings because they lost everything in the crash. And I read about this man, and he jumped from a building, in, you know, 15, 20 stories high. He found out he only had $2 million left. Can you laugh at that? I can. He only had $2 million left. He could not live like you live. Man, he couldn't have played football for Burbank. You know, he wouldn't have had any shoes. Being poor isn't all that bad. I would rather be rich. No, I'd rather just have a good enough. I really, riches would scare me. I'd be afraid I'd lose it. But I like to have enough to be comfortable. Have enough not to worry. Have enough not to have to live on a real tight budget. You would too. Isaiah has many, many amazing prophecies. And by the way, in 1 Peter 1:11, if you want to look it up, you want to know how these prophets made these prophecies? 1 Peter 1:11 says, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. That's the way he states it. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was the Spirit of Christ as it is in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And evidently, the Holy Spirit is what was in those prophets telling them what to print, what to say, what to prophesy. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Isaiah is going to be speaking because he's got a knowledge from the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, 700 years before Christ, the man called Isaiah, a prophet, makes some prophecies that are just absolutely fantastic. Isaiah 53 is one of those. I had two different times in my life I've been able to witness to a Jew who was a born Jew, who was in the Jewish religion still. One time my boys were in elementary school, just about four houses down from the street from the school. And I was in evangelism, and I happened to be home. This was one of my weeks at home. And a man knocked on my door. And he was a young man selling encyclopedias. Well, I told him, I said, well, you know, I really don't need any encyclopedias. I have two. And I'm probably not going to buy an encyclopedia. He said, well, but I need to have shows that it's, let me show it to you. I said, okay. I said, under one condition. If you will give me the time to let me present what I've got to present as much as I give you for your encyclopedia. He said, yeah, yeah. So he gave me his 30 minutes, and it was a very nice encyclopedia, probably better than anything that I had. But I wasn't going to buy another encyclopedia. Then I took him and I started witnessing to him, and he was a Jew. And I said, have you ever read Isaiah 53? And so I read it for him. I took him out. I gave him a Bible, and I'm out there. And I began to read what I'm going to read here in just a minute. And when I got through, I said, who do you think that's talking about? That Jew said he's talking about Jesus Christ. I think you see it. Now, the other person that I did it for was in a different, complete different situation. But he gave knowledge that it sure did look like Christianity. And the Ethiopian eunuch riding along in a chariot, that doesn't necessarily mean he was a black man, because many of people have taken Jews into the high places in authority, made eunuchs of them so they don't have to worry about their outcome, their children or anything, and used them in high government officials. So he could have been a Jewish official of the queen. But at any rate, he's going along and he's reading Isaiah 53 and it's not fitting with his way of thinking. And Philip runs up by the chariot. The Lord told him to get up there and witness to this guy. And he got up in there and he said, what are you reading there, Isaiah? He said, you understand it? How can I understand it? I feel in some of those prophetic sayings. How am I going to ever understand this? You, with all of these intertribal wars and the stuff like that, they were prophesying about a lot of things. But this is about Jesus. Isaiah 53. Well, that Ethiopian eunuch said, stop the chariot and baptize me right here. Praise the Lord. I like nice converts like that. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 and follow along with me as I go. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He's not that special, physically. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Wow. This is deep stuff here, kids. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but, here's one of those big words, B-U-T, he was wounded for our transgressions. There is the substitutionary death of the Savior 700 years before he was born. Out of the pen of a man called Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. His being smitten and stricken and afflicted. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Is that the gospel?
Yeah.
It's about as clear as it can get. Oh, but it gets even clearer. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's my testimony. You have a different one? Were you a good little boy or a good little girl and you didn't do any sinning at all and you really didn't need a Savior? I don't believe it. I don't believe it, not for a minute. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. What's your problem? Your own will. These little babies being born, you know what they are? They're the center of the universe to themselves when they grow up. And mama, I don't care how tired you are, how much you're hurting, whether you got any sleep or not, they say, I want some attention. And they yell it out at 2 a.m. They never did wake me. They wake Verlina up real quickly. But they never did wake me. And I would have said, turn over and go back to bed. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we just esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. That's the gospel in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus Christ. And it's the spirit of Jesus which was in them gave them these messages. Now then he goes on. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that the truth? You know, that's your biggest problem even right now. You know why you're having a problem in a marriage? You got two one ways. You got to get together on one way. Isn't it amazing how selfish we are? I am very selfish. I want my house. I want my car. I want to turn on that television as loud as I want it. I don't care that your ears are bursting. I want to hear. And my earphones, I've had three sets of them, never worked for me. I don't know why, but that's just the way it goes. You know something? I want the air conditioning the way I want it. Now, when I was alive and married to Verlene, I wanted it where I could hang meat in the living room if I wanted to. Now then, my kids come over and they're sweating. Daddy, go out the air conditioning on. Yeah, at 80 degrees. I gotten cold natured. But it's me, and it's you. And there's 9 billion of us wanting our way. Isn't that amazing? 9 billion people, and every one of them is a world unto himself. Isn't that amazing? It really is. With his stripes, we are healed. Verse 6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That looks like a big load.
Yes.
How about spiritually thinking, you're going to have all the contamination of your house and the people that are in that house laid on you. Well, that's what Jesus was looking at the world. He was looking at you and he was looking at me way back there. Paid for all our sins. He went into prison and he opened not his mouth. He was a sheep before shearers. Verse 7 is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison. How about Jesus being in a prison? Wow. He's taken from judgment. He was judged by the Jewish priests. And he was judged by Herod, and he was judged by
Pilate,
thank you. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked. Hey, he died between two thieves that deserved it. He didn't deserve it. He was with the rich in his death. Do you think that a poor carpenter would have a grave that is cone out of stone and a big rock to roll over it? No, they'd throw him into 3 foot of dirt somewhere. He got a rich man's tomb. This is said 700 years before he was born. Does that impress you? It impresses me, always has impressed me. With the rich in his death. He had done no violence, neither any deceit in his mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus paid the debt. You couldn't pay it. If you lived 1,000 lives, you couldn't pay it. Praise God, Jesus paid it. Praise God, it's paid.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about paying for my sins. They're paid for. I didn't do the paying. You ever gone out to eat and somebody else pays the bill? That's pretty nice, isn't it? How about coming to God for salvation and somebody else pays the bill? How about forgiveness of sin and somebody else pays the bill? How about a changed life and somebody else pays the bill? That's what you ought to thank God for every day of your life.
Amen.
Every day you think, I'm saved, praise God, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. It ought to make you humble. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And look at verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Yeah. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. His soul is an offering for sin. The only offering I trust is this one. I don't trust I'm ever going to be good enough to go to heaven. I gave that up a long time ago. The only thing I trust is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He paid my debt. He paid the debt for you. And that's why you can have eternal life and it not be taken away from you. It was given to you as a gift. You did not deserve it. You did not earn it. Be thankful you have it. Amen. Today's the 19th, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All day.
Thank you, buddy.
It's Sunday.
It is Sunday, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, it looks like I made it in time.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, if you want to get ahead of yourself, next Sunday is the last Sunday, and I'm going to go with Psalm 22. Well, I'm still in this chapter. That's David. And if you don't realize it, all those Psalms, most of those Psalms are written by David. And some of them are so clear on salvation, it's just as clear as Isaiah, and maybe even more so. And he lived about 1,000 years before Christ. But he had the Spirit of Christ in him. It was telling him what to write, what to sing about. Praise the Lord.